Yeah, but then if she goes into labor, you'll be disturbed during shear.
I told her that, but...
Okay. The Mishnah says, and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Nichta Bayom Benechta Velayla Velayla Benechta Nechva Yom Nechva Yom, sorry, Velayla Benechta Velayla Velayla Benechva Yom Kasher. Basically, if it's written and signed on the same date, then it's kosher. Why not? Yom Nechva Velayla, it's written today and signed at night, meaning it's signed on a later date than it's written, then it is Pasol. And Rav Shimon Machshir Shahai, it's Pasol, that we would call that Mukdam, because it has, you know, the date of Aleph, but they signed it on Bet. And Rav Shimon, it's Machshir, Rav Shimon Omer, call it Gittin Shenifu Yom Nechva Velayla, Psulim Chotz Mi Gittin Nashim. He agrees that by Gittin Mamal, by long, you know, by Shtari Chol, that if it's written during the day and signed at night, it's possible, because it's really not valid till the night, and has the date of the day, and the guy might be Torf Lekucho Shalokadin. But by Gittin, he's Machshir, and we'll explain the reasons for all these things in the Gemara. But I want to start with before the Gemara starts. But we'll start with before the Gemara starts. We have to at least start the Gemara. So Itmar, if they not take the Zman begitten, why Midrag Bana? Did they make a takana that you have to put the Zman in a get? Right? The assumption of our Mishnah is that you write the Zman in a get. And that's why you have this issue. Right? If you wouldn't write the Zman in the get, no one would worry. Who cares if you write it today and sign it tomorrow? You know, there's no problem with them because there's no Zman. So this is Zman. But why did our Banim attacking that you should put the Zman in the get? Which apparently needs a raisa. You don't need a zman in a get, but you're abundant there and attacking. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mishum Basachoso, Rish Lakshas Amar Mishum Peiros. Rabbi Yochanan says the problem is Mishum Basachoso. What's the problem, Basachoso? A guy might be married to his niece. It's apparently a common thing to do in those days. And she might commit adultery. Now, the Rishonim write that Basachoso is Labdavka. It just means, you know, that even after his wife commits adultery, he still likes her. But in those days, if I stopped married a wife and she committed adultery, then I would want her to die. But if, Magiela, I'm very insulted, right? But if she was my niece, then blood is thicker than water, then even though I'd be very mad at her for committing adultery, I wouldn't want her to die because she's family, and therefore the guy might cheat. What would he do? He would write her a get without his man. She would go into Besdin, show them she's a get. They'd say, well, we're mesupik if you were divorced beforehand, and therefore you didn't commit adultery, or you were divorced afterwards and you did commit adultery. Okay, but safik v'vashalah hakel, so they'd let her go. Okay, we'll deal with Tosos soon. And to avoid that problem of people getting away with adultery, they were attacking to write a zman in the get. Okay, the details will be on Amud Beis. Reish Lakish says, no, mishum peiros. Because the husband gets the payros, right? The what we call it, the interest from the bank account, right? Or literally the payros from the field, from his wife's. He gets the payros from his wife's property as long as they're married. Obviously, once they get divorced, he no longer gets the payros. But what's the problem? The problem is if he writes a get without his man, then we won't know when the payros shifted from being the husband's to being the wife's, and the wife will get ripped off. He'll divorce her, and she won't be able to collect her, you know, by the time she, you know, she gets divorced, she's a lot of things going on in her life. By the time she speaks to her lawyer in 6 months from now, you know, every time she speaks to her brother-in-law, who tells her to speak to a lawyer 6 months now, it says, you know what, you should be getting the payros now. You know, why have you been letting your husband keep the payros for the last 6 months? She goes to Bezin and tries to get her payros. She won't be able to, because they'll say, go prove when you were divorced, therefore they were talking Zman. Fine. I want to start one step earlier, which is the assumption of the Gemara is that me'ikar din midorais, so you don't need Zman begitten until they were talking. But that is very strange, because you need Zman for all Edus. Right? I mean, what kind of gittin are we talking about? Let's be very clear. What kind of gittin are we talking about? We're not talking about gittin without Edi Chasima. You know, we're not talking about the idea that theoretically, according to the Lozer, you could have a get with no edus whatsoever and just give it in front of Edi Masira, right? If we're talking about a get where you only have Edi Masira, then what do you need to write the Zvan in the get? Should they ask the Edi Masira when it happened? The point is, we're talking about a get here that has Edi Chasima on it, right? And the Edi Chasima are going to be an independent proof of what happened, but you need to prove what day it happened. But hold on a second. If we're talking about a get which has edus on it,
then Eidos needs man midoraisa, because this is dinner drisha v'chakira. Right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin darshan, so you need drisha v'chakira, and they darshan seven times, so you need to ask seven questions, right? Which Shemitah it was, and which year, and which month, and which day of the week, and which hour of the day, and which place. Hopefully that added up to seven. That's a din d'oraisa. And the Gemara says, Mefurish, all over Masechta Sanhedrin, that if you have an aide who comes to testify in court, and you ask him, when did it happen? And he says, I don't know. That is Eidos as pasol. Mi d'oraisa Eidos as pasol. If you don't have his mind. So, why do you need to say mi d'rabbanan because of this specific problem, basachoso or peiros? Just say, mi d'oraisa if the get is pasol without... Without Zman, because Eidos without Zman is puzzle. Okay, that is the question that all the Rishonim and Achronim are bothered by. And there are two ways to answer this question. Depends how you count. Or five, or whatever. You know. There are two general directions. One direction is to say, because we're talking about Ishus, and by the way, just to make this question stronger, get in the end does need Zman. But keep in mind, it's kashmir midoraisa without Zman. Right? How do we get his kashmir midoraisa without Zman? So that's the mishnah that we all remember of the shlosha gittin, right? In daf peivav amalaf, the three gittin that are puzzle, one of them is yisol ve'in ve'in bo Zman, the amnesis of vlad kashmir. Right? If she gets remarried, the vlad is kashmir. I mean, it's kashmir midoraisa without Zman. That's clear. It's only darabonim needs Zman. And the Gemara says in Yevamos, that Emet Shtar Kiddushin doesn't need Zman Bechlal, not Midoraisa, not Midorabanan. So clearly it's okay without Zman on a Doraisa level, it's only Takana. Why is it okay without Zman on a Doraisa level? So one derech is to say, because it is Ishus. Ishus doesn't need Zman. Why does Ishus not need Zman? So here, the most famous answer is in Mukhe Yosef. It's in Sanhedrin. It seems that the Ramban and the Rashba, they don't get into in great detail, but at the end of Yevamos there, the very last line in Sefer Yevamos, seem to agree with the Mukhe Yosef. So, one Derek is famous in the name of Mukhe Yosef. He's the only one who expands on it, but it seems to be also the sheet of the Ramban and the Rashba. They just like briefly assume this. At the end of Yevamos, they say that Anachanami get does need Zman Midoraisa, but Midrabanan they are mafkia they need for Zman. Where do they get that idea? From the first sugya in the fourth Perek Sanhedrin. The fourth Perek Sanhedrin, Echadin Imam, Echadin and Fashos, are the same. They all need Drishma Chakira, etc. So the Gemara says, but it's not true. Dini Mamonos doesn't need Drishma Chakira. And specifically, Dini Mamonos doesn't need Zman. How do we know Dini Mamonos doesn't need Zman? Because Shtari Chov HaMu'ucharim, right? A shtar that's predated his puzzle, because the guy will be torf lekuchos lokadena, post-dated shtar chov, is okay. As a matter of fact, they say even if a shtar chov was written in the days of Yod Tishrei, then we say it's okay. You can't write a shtar on Yom Kippur. No, it's post-dated. So the Gemara says, what happened to Yishmael Kippur? And they say, no, midrabanan, they allowed Eidos nefashos still need Drisha v'chakira. But midrabanan, for Eidos mamonos, they are mafkia the need for Drisha v'chakira. They are mafkia the need for Zman. Why? Shlo tinol delas b'fnei lovin. We have many kulas in suing for mamonos in order to avoid people refusing to lend money because they think they won't be able to collect. One of them, in the very beginning of Masech Sanhedrin, who remembers when we learned Sanhedrin, what were they mitakin? In order to make sure that Tinol Dels may love him. That what? Mumche, that you don't need mumchem, right? You can have Dayanim without smicha. Three Dayanim without smicha can judge the Imam. And in the fourth parak, we see that they were also lowered the standards of Eidos. The people ate them still have to be kosher, but you don't have to interrogate them. They don't need Jerisha v'chakira in Dinei Mamonos. So, that's in the Dinei Mamonos versus the Fashos. The Fashos you need Jerisha v'chakira, Mamonos you don't. Says the Nemuke Yosef, and how about Gittin Vikidushin? He says, just like they are Mafkia Drisha Vakira for Dini Mamonos in order to Latinal Delis Bifne Lovin, they are also Mafkia Drisha Vakira from Gittin Vikidushin. Why? Mishaw, or at least from Gittin, is very similar to Shurigon, right? Mishurigon, we don't want to make the standards too. Al Chora, this the same would be, what if two Aden came in Baal Peh? and said we saw Mrs. Schwartz get divorced, then we wouldn't require Drusha Chakira. We relax the standards. We would say we don't have to interrogate them. We don't have to ask them exactly when it happens and where it happens, etc. Because we relax the standards, Mishum Igun. Ah, what gives us? So he says that Mida Oraisa Sarat Zman Midin Drisha Bakira. Drisha Bakira. But Midra Banan Hechshiru Li Drisha Bakira Kimo Vi Dine Mamanos. And if you ask, just to fill in the parallel to Dine Mamanos, right? In Dine Mamanos. And here you have in Gittin. Right, what was the reason for the takana, what we call the ilus delis, and here the reason is Mishum Igun. What was the mechanism of the takana? How did Chazal have the right to change the rules of Eidos? So, simple shot is, how do they have the right to change the rules of Eidos in Dini Mominus and say, we'll accept Eidos that Drisha Hakira Vidaraisa is no good? How can they have the right to accept Eidos that's not good Vidaraisa in Mominus? What? Hefker isn't Hefker. And what does Mufi Yosef fill in? So in Gittin, what gives them the right to accept a get that's not really valid Midoraisa? Exactly. Okay, I can put Kalbun Kavshat there, I can put Afkinu or Bungu Kedushmine. Let's just, in one word, Afkinu, right, we have a principle that everyone is Makadish, Makadish, and Dasa, the Rabbanan, therefore the Rabbanan can be Afkia Kedushin. Now this is heavy artillery. Then Mufi Yosef says, really, a get without Zman is kosher. It's kosher b'dieved that the vlaz that a mamzer and kosher. Why? Because afkinu rabbanan lekiddushin minei. Not because the get can be kosher without drisha b'chakir without zman, but because she was never married in the first place. Basically, the rabbanan got together and made a rule that whenever edim come to say a woman is divorced, whenever edim come to say a woman is divorced without a zman, without drisha b'chakira, they were Makiya, the Kedushin, and she was never married in the first place. So, that's the Mufi Yosef. Okay, the Mufi Yosef, the downside, the advantage of the Mufi Yosef is it's following a clear precedent of Dini Mamnos. Exactly what the Gemara says happened to Dini Mamnos, likewise happened to Gittin. The downside of the Mufi Yosef is that there's two awkward stages here. Number one, that he has to assume that it's not really a kosher get without Zman. It's just that they were of Kiyah the Kedushin. Okay, that's not so bad. The other funny thing is, and this is what Rukhain is bothered by and others, I'll tell you a very clever question that the Tumim asks on the Mufi Yosef, it was on the course. He says, what's the problem Shemi Chafal Basachoso? If he taka gives her a get without his man, then that will make the Rabbanan be mafkia the Kedushin retroactively, so she was never married. So what's so bad if he gets her off the charge of adultery? She was never married. Okay, look, Lucas is not the answer. Still, it seems bad. Bad for the morals of society. But the Reb Chaim's problem is that it's not a kasha. It could be. It just becomes very awkward. Because what happens then? Mida oraisa, you need zman. Mida Rabbanan, the mafkia zman for Bishop Egon, and then Rabbanan, they put the zman back. They put back the requirement of Zman because of Basachoso or Peros. Then our Gemara is a little funny. Like, our Gemara is, why are the Metakin Zman in Get? You know, how do we know the Metakin Zman in Get? Maybe you just need a Vidoraisa? No, our Gemara knew they took it off and then put it back. Okay, it's a little awkward. They took off the requirement for Zman and used Afkinu and then put it back. And then they made this funny Xera, right? If you have a Get without a Zman, it's still they used Afkinu. That's why in these says Havlad Kasher. But they said it's possible Midra Banan. They still kasher the Doraisa and possible the Midra Banan. Okay, it's a very awkward result that comes out according to the Mufi Yosef, but it could be.
She still looks worse than Afkinu. Because then, as far as she was concerned, when she did the thing she did in Aveira, and of course, the Shemei Chapel about the Chotoi, she can get out and say, well, it was after the get, and I'm not so bad. She has a side to keep her reputation.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. As a matter of fact, the Ritva does point out here that Shem Yechapel Basachoso doesn't only mean, even though most Rishonim seem to assume it means he'll get it off of the capital punishment. He says, no, he'll just save her reputation, etc. Okay.
Okay, now that's Megillosik. The Ritva in Yevamos, quoting Rav Pinchas HaLevi, I didn't say Levi, but I assume one of his Rambos, Rav Pinchas HaLevi, and the Tos Yeshanim, is the Gersa is a little problematic. There's a little note there saying how you should correct it. It's not clear, but he seems to be saying the same thing as Rav Pinchas HaLevi, just not clearly, and the Gersa is probably a little corrupt. The Rav Pinchas HaLevi, the Ritva quotes is his Rav Rabbeinu Pinchas, who I assume is Rav Pinchas HaLevi, the brother of the Ra'ah. Right, the Ra'ah had a brother, Rabbeinu Pinchas HaLevi. Rabbeinu Pinchas HaLevi, as a matter of fact, many of the scholars hold that he wrote the Sefer HaChinuch. No one knows who wrote the Sefer HaChinuch. I think in the introduction to Sefer HaChinuch, the author said he's a Levi from maybe Barcelona or wherever exactly. So a lot of people think it was the Ra'ah because he's the only Gadol who's a Levi. The scholars said it doesn't seem to be the Ra'ah because there's too many stiras between the published books of the Ra'ah and the other published books of the Ra'ah, the Sefer HaChinuch. So some of the scholars concluded that it must be Rav Pinchas HaLevi. All right, we don't really know. But anyway, Rav Pinchas HaLevi, who may, according to, I think, Professor Toshna, Rav Pinchas HaLevi is the author of Sefer HaChinuch. I don't know if he's right or not. Rav Pinchas HaLevi gives a different shot. He says no. He says, Mida Oraisa, Dine Nefashos, the Dine Mamanos. Shrikim Drisha Vachakira, Aval, Dine Ishos, he says, yes, basically, what these have in common is that it's that Ishus doesn't need Drisha V'Hakira. Either they're Rafkia for Egon and use their Rafkinu power, or just Midoraisa Ishus doesn't need Drisha V'Hakira. After all, Drisha V'Hakira is said in the Torah about trials, right? Trials are Drisha V'Hakira, meaning Eidos of Chiyuvim. What are Eidos of Chiyuvim? Either I say you're Chayav Mamon, or I say you're Chayiv Misa. Or I assume also Chayiv Malkus. You know, he's not, you know, that would be the same thing. Meaning, Edim who are testifying that someone is Chayiv something. It doesn't have to be a crime. It could just be Chayiv money. Nidri Shiva Hakira. Edim of Ishos, of divorce or marriage, do not Nidri Shiva Hakira, even Midar Raisa. We have Xer Shava. What's Xer Shava? Dover mi mamon, right? How do we know in Dover Shiver Bach Mishnaim? Because Dover mi mamon, it says, Kimotsu Erbus Dover, and it says, Mishnaim in Yachum Dover. So he said, no, the Xerashava of Dover mi mamon is limited. Al Pishnaim Adem Yachum Dover. Dover teaching you need Shnaim Adem by Dover Shiver Erva, like you need by, by Mamonus. But it doesn't mean you need all the exact same rules by Dover Shiver Erva as you need by Mamonos. No, you need to aid him, but you don't need Drisha V'Hakira. That's a Chiddush. No one else assumes that. Everyone else assumes Dover is across the board, right? So he says, limits the Xerashava of Dover. So the quantity of the Edus, the Edim, not the interrogation of the Edim. Okay, why would this make sense? That you would need Drisha V'Hakira by Dini Mamonos Midoraisa. I know that they were Mafkiat. Dini Nefashos and Dini Malkus, etc., but not by Ishus. So, anyone want to suggest the Svara, why that is?
One Svara is that these are a different type of aid. They're not aiding that are made, they're aiding the cube.
No, but he's talking about Edom that are married. He's not only talking about Edom, he's talking about Edom that come into court and testify as well. Two Edom come into court and says she's married or she's divorced. And they don't need Dorei, so don't need Drisha V'Hakira. So why is that? So here I can think of two svaras. He doesn't give a svara. Once.
He says it's such a serious situation. You would mess around
if you want to mess. No, Dine Nefashos, I think, is even more serious. So one possibility could be, and here is a fascinating question. Why do you need Drisha
why, not why do you need Drisha v'chakira? It's always good to interrogate. Why is Drisha v'chakira ma'akev? So we're not, without getting into all the suyas in Sanhedrin, it certainly sounds perhaps like, why is the Zman and the Makom ma'akev in Drisha v'chakira? Anyone think of why the Zman and the Makom is ma'akev in Drisha v'chakira? What? Because they Drisha v'chakira lazima. Right? Now here, there's two deyas in Tosfos, in the beginning of Makos. Everyone remembers the first Tosfos in Makos, right? Does everyone remember the first Tosfos in Makos? Everyone. Okay. He asks, what's the first mission in Makos? The first mission in Makos says, there are some things that you can't do kasher zaman, right? Such as saying someone's a ben grusha ben chalutza, which actually, in the same realm as what we're talking about here, right? Personal status. So Tosfos asks, hold on a second. How could you have things that there's no hazama for? Right? That's the first mission Mako says. If two Adim come and say, I don't know who's it calling here. Say Jack Cohen is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and they're Huzam, they don't become Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. That's not really Shaya. That doesn't make sense. They get Malchus. So Tosfos asks, it's Eidah Shiyat Yachal Azima. How can you have Eidah that's not refutable? And Tosfos gives two answers. His first answer, I hope I'm getting the order right. I always forget the order of answers in Tosfos. Yeah, looks good. His first answer is no. All Eidah has to be hazamable, if I can mix languages. All Eidah has to be Yachal Azima. It's Yachal Azima because if you're Mazin the Eidim, they'll get Malkos. Right? So, indeed in Fush, it's Yachal Azima because if you're Mazin the Eidim, you'll kill them. Indeed in Malkos, Yachal Azima because if you're Mazin the Eidim, you'll give them Malkos. In Mamanos, it's Yachal Azima because if you're Mazin the Eidim, they'll pay money. And in Miscellaneous, it's Yachal Azima because if you're Mazin the Eidim, you'll give them Malkos. Okay. But there's a second day in Tosfos. The second day, so it's Og Yishlomar. No. You don't need Yachal Azima. You only need Yachal Azima by Eidos that it's Shayach to do Kasher Zaman. Because when it's Shayach to do Kasher Zaman, the Torah requires that it's Yachal to do Kasher Zaman. But when it's not even Shayach to do Kasher Zaman, then there's no requirement of Yachal Azima. So there's 2 days in Tosos where there's a requirement of Yachal Azima by Eidos, when you can't do Kasher Zaman. Again, first day in Tosfos says there's a requirement. And you yield to that requirement because you can give Malkus. Second day it says no requirement at all. So now, if you just put two and two together, you could say maybe that's where Pinchas HaLevi holds like the second day of Tosfos. But if I testify that a woman's divorced or married, two Eidim come and say, Mrs. Greenbloom is divorced. And they're lying. What, are you going to make them be divorced? It's not Shaykh, obviously, to do Kasher Zaman. And therefore, according to the second day in Tosfos at least, there's no requirement of Yachal Azim in the first place. If there's no requirement of Yachal Azim in the first place, then you could say the only reason you need Makom and Zman is for Yachal Azim, which is an assumption, but a well-founded assumption. That seems to be Pashat Shat in the Gemara. So, what's the Svara? The Svara number one could be like the second day in Tosfos, the very first Tosfos in Makos, de lo v'inan yachol hazima de eidos de lo shayach o kasher zaman. And you have to assume that that the need for Drisha v'chakira, or at least when I'm saying need for Drisha v'chakira, I mean that li'ikuva. Obviously, you always need l'chakira. The best thing should try to look into things. I mean the need for li'ikuva. Is that Drisha v'chakira is ma'akev rak mishum eidos she'i'atayachol lazima. So if you assume that it's only an issue of eidos she'i'atayachol lazima, then you could say you don't need Yachal Azima here, because like the second day in Tosfos, it's not something which you can do Kasher Zaman, therefore it's exempt from the requirements of Yachal Azima. Okay, is it true that it's only because of Eidah Shiyat Yachal Azima? So not 100% clear. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf, Ayin Hey, Amud, which Amud is it? Amud Beis, has a line where it's discussing why, where it's discussing this weird case. let me just find it. Give me half a second. Sorry. Yeah. Where the fellow says, I admit that I was gonev and toveach, etc. Just not in front of you. And he's mazin the etim. So you can't really do kasher zamam to them because they weren't zomim against the defendant. The defendant admitted he was guilty anyway. That's the assumption. Not our topic now. So is that kasher or not? Edushi yotayachol azima. And what do they say? The Rabbanan say it's possible to say edushi yotayachol azima, and Sumcha says it's okay. Even though it's edushi yotayachol azima, they say, how could Sumcha say it's okay? It's edushi yotayachol azima. The answer is no. When is edushi yotayachol azima possible? Only if they don't say the time and the place. Because then it is lekel edus klal. There's no edus at all. But over here, where there is edus at all, just, it's a technical problem. He's machir. Basically, the word there is a phrase. Lekala idus klal, if you don't say this man and the makom. Right? Eidus without zman is lekala idus klal. So the question is what it means by lekala idus klal. If you say lekala idus klal means, this is a much deeper problem, eidus yitayachal azima. There's eidus yitayachal azima stam, and then there's eidus, the reason you can't be mazimit is because he hasn't even said what the eidus is. Okay, if you understand lekel edus klal, meaning it's a more fundamental problem, forget about yachal inu yachal azima. That
you're cutting off the teretz from the kasha. Kasha was edus shiata yachal azima. Presumably, teretz is related to the kasha.
Okay, correct. Then perhaps I'm being mechadish. Okay, maybe you don't want me to be mechadish. One could say, yeah. Basically, the question: what does edus yachal azima mean? Does it mean technically you can't be mekayim hazama? Or does it mean that you haven't even said anything yet? And it's sort of being Gloy Milsa that you haven't said anything. After all, if I can't prove whether you're right or wrong, then you haven't said anything. Okay, I admit that's a chiddush.
Malcolm and the Zman are exactly the parameters that are necessary for Zman.
Fair enough. Okay. So, what I'm saying is that, perhaps you want to say it's obvious that it's only because of Eidus Shiata Yachal Azima. Why else would you need Zman and Malcolm? Those are the Geder of Hazama. Okay, I wanted to say, maybe that's a chiddush, maybe you could have understood lekel edus klal means, it's not a technical problem yachal azima. It's that the fact that it's not yachal azima shows that you haven't said anything yet, which I admit is adding something. Okay, so whether or not you could have said otherwise, perhaps, you could have said that lekel edus klal is a more fundamental problem. And what the Gemara is answering is that, when Sumchas allows Eidus Yechol Azima, he allows it if it's just Eidus Yechol Azima. But if it's Eidus Yechol Azima because of some more fundamental problem, he wouldn't allow it. And I'm disconnecting a little bit the answer from the question. Okay, perhaps you could have said no. Without Zman and Mokum, you haven't said anything. You've just, told fairy tales. You haven't told Eidus. If it didn't happen at a time, it didn't happen at a place, then everyone knows when you start, in a galaxy far, far away, once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away, you're not telling testimony, you're telling fairy tales. So perhaps one might have thought that this is a worse problem than Stam Yitos is discussing technically as a Yachal Azima. This is a worse problem than Yitayachal Azima. This is an Yitayachal Azima which stands for a fundamental lack of Eidos, lack of Eidos Klal. Rashi does not say that to me. Rashi says, Eidus Klal means it's very suspicious in that it's Eini Yachal Azima. You could have perhaps said it's more fundamental. I'm attracted to the idea of saying that. Perhaps without a time and place, you haven't told the story at all. But nonetheless, let's assume not that way. Let's assume the only problem is Eini Yachal Azima, in which case, if you take the second day of Tosfos from the beginning of Makos, then Rav Pinchas HaLevi makes perfect sense. Perhaps there's another way to understand Rav Pinchas HaLevi as well. which is that perhaps there's another way to understand the story of Pinchas HaLevi, and this is going to be sort of a fundamental issue that underlies even a free at my fish, right? I want to say perhaps what could be Kharish and Hakira. Is it Eda Shiyatirchalazima, or is it a fundamental lack of a story? That a story that a time and place is not a it is a fairy tale, is a good story, but a story that a time and place is not a is not a testimony. Even if let's look at Yachal Azima, the Reb Chaim is Chakira. Reb Chaim asks, is it a pagam in the Etzem HaEdos? Is it that the Eidos is not Eidos? After all, it's something that's right. Right? Remember A.J. Ayer? Right? From the logical positivist school of philosophy in Vienna in the 20s, no? Not a personal friend of mine. Not someone who was in the rush here with you, no. You hope not. Okay, fair enough. What is the logical positive school all about? I don't want to get into the philosophical implications of this, which are, you know, mine and shame myself. But, you know, if you can't disprove something, then you haven't said anything in the first place, right? Anything where I say there's no way to disprove hasn't actually said anything. Okay, yes, but not for now. So, maybe the point is, an eidos that cannot be disproven, right? Because after all, I say that happens, and I'm not telling you when and where. If I'm not telling you when and where, you can't really disprove it, because, you know, it could have happened at a different time and place. That's all part of Yachal Azima. An eidos that's not disprovable is a fundamentally flawed eidos, right? So in Yachal Azima, I might as well be one eid. I might as well be a goslin. Right, it's a fundamentally flawed eidos. Or perhaps do we say, so it's din the chetzishal eidos, or Reb Chaim asked the Chakira, right here in the one on the sheet, he said, no, it's not in the chetzishal eidos, it's in the process of Kabbalah's eidos. After all, drisha v'chakira, it's interesting, like it's eidos she'il t'yachal azima, the Gemara associates that with the phrase drisha v'chakira. Drisha v'chakira sounds like not something about the eidos, something about the process of Bezdin. Bezdin has to do a certain process of Drisha v'Chakira. And as a matter of fact, Drisha v'Chakira is even more than Zman and Makom. There are other things that are also included, at least l'chachila, that they have to ask you certain questions. Some are b'dieved, some are ma'akev, some are l'chachila, right? Ben Azai was even bodek, b'tzei te'enem, right? What type of stems the figs had, without getting into the details. So Drisha v'Chakira sounds like part of the process of Bezdin. Eidos she'il azima sounds like, no, it's part of the chetza shel eidos. So which is it? Is it part of the chetza shel eidos or part of the process of Bezdin? Nearly, perhaps, a second way to say the svara of,
Rabbi, if you say that, it's the second way to say the svara of Pinchas, it might be the way to say the Rambam Chalaf. I mean, so maybe it should be number three, not a corollary of number two. Pharaoh doesn't need Drisha v'Chakira.
It's just a matter of how I'm going to organize it. So I have a reason I want to organize it differently. You do. Not that right or wrong. I happen to think the way I'm organizing it is more useful. At the end, you'll tell me if you think I'm right. But maybe you could say Alpi Chakiras Hagrach. If Drisha v'Chakira is a din in the process of Kabbalah Sa'idos and not the Chetzishal Eidos, then you could easily say, when do we learn Dover Dover Mi Mamon? Dover Dover Mi Mamon is at the Chetzishal Eidos. The Chetzishal Eidos has to have the same standards in Ish, in Dover Shva Erva, what we call Ishos, as in Mamon. But in terms of the process of accepting the Eidos, you can say they're two different things. One is Bezdin seeing if someone is kind of something. The other is Bezdin just clarifying background details, right? Meaning, no one is being convicted of being married or being divorced. Those might be useful background details in a different case, which could be Malkus, which could be Mamonos, which could be Nefashos, which could be anything, right? But there's one could see a slight difference. One could see a clear difference. Then Dover applies to the standard of the Eidos itself, but not to the process of Kabbalah in terms of, and not to the process of Kabbalah, and therefore you only need the process of Drisha v'Chakira for an Eidos that a person, you know, did a Maisa Hamachayavo. Right? Hamachayavo, so. Right? Which is Malkus Momentus. Yeah, for Malkus Momentus and Foshos, you want testimony that someone did something that makes him Chayav? That you need Drisha v'Chakira. If you want just background testimony, like who's married and who's divorced and, who, you know, all kinds of other interesting details, then we have no raya from there that you need Drisha v'Chakira. So Dover is limited to, I mean, that's just, you don't have to add this. Dover is limited to the Chetzus Leidus, not to the process of Aegis of accepting.
Doesn't the Pilchas Gershon give a different justification for the fact that the
So that is parallel to the last Gemara in Yevamos. Yeah, okay, let me just relate to the Lashon Rama, and then I will tell you why I think that that is not what we're looking for. These last few halachos are talking about only edus that the husband died. It's not talking about getting. Hold on. Mesish ploni, Narag ploni ben ploni, Mace ploni ben ploni. Ain bodkin ede isha of Yishva Hakira. No. Ede Isha doesn't mean, Ede Isha is a jargon. It's a phrase from Shas. Ede Isha does not mean Edom about marriage. Ede Isha means specifically Edom if the husband died. That's a jargon in Shas. And that's something different. The Ram says Edom if the husband died has a lower standard, but that's for a very specific reason. Why? Because in the end we're going to find out. Because if he didn't die, he'll show up. That has nothing to do with here. We'll never in the end find out who was divorced, who wasn't. So I think that's totally irrelevant. Okay, this is one derech. One derech is to say that Ishos is different. Either Ishos is different with Rabbanan and through Rav Kinu that has the rights of power, or Ishos is different because it's never covered by Dover. The other derech is not that Ishos is different, because after all, Get is Ishos, but Get is, right, more relevant to a lot of things we've been talking about, a shtar, right? Maybe it's that a shtar doesn't need Drisha v'Chakira. Not because Get is Ishos. Taka Edim. According to the next few answers, two Edim, when it walked into court and says Mrs. Ploni's divorced, wouldn't need Drisha v'Chakira, and they wouldn't need Zman, they wouldn't need the Mokum. Edus Valpeh wouldn't need Zman and Mokum. Two Edim come and say, we saw Mr. Greenberg divorce Mrs. Greenberg. We would say, we can only accept your Edus, I'll be Drisha v'Chakira, tell us the time. Tell us the place. Now, of course, Dine Ishos need Drisha v'Chakira. If that a shtar doesn't need Drisha v'Chakira, why would a shtar not need Drisha v'Chakira? So here we have many, many different formulations, which have to do with, you know, basically it all comes down to the fact that there's something unique about shtar, right? The question is, how does exactly shtar work? How does the uniqueness of shtar work? And it all goes back to the fact that, forget about Drisha v'Chakira, a shtar should be puzzle because Mipiyam v'lo m'piksafam. And yet, we don't worry about Mipiyam v'lo m'piksafam. And so, some of the echron also throw in, how about the fact that a shtar can be signed at night, and you can't accept Eidos at night? Clearly, shtaros have different rules in terms of Eidos. Okay, how does this work? So, one possibility is, let's take the Nesivas derech. Pnei Yoshua was not altogether different from the Nesivas. The Nesivas says, because the Nesivas points out that there's a more, again, it's all Chazara. that there's a more fundamental problem when it comes to Sharos. Forget about the fact that it's Bipik Savam, and it's without Drish V'Chakira, and you can find another few technicalities. How about the fact that the Aden didn't even see it happen? I go to two Aden and I say, sign an IOU that Yehuda Wells lent me 100,000 shekel. They sign, they give it to me. I go to Yehuda Wells and I say, you hand me the money, I hand you the shtar. The Aden didn't even see if he lent me 100,000 shekel or not. Right? Meaning all Aden, both Aden V'Ksuba, right?
Yeah.
Anyone ever hear, everyone ever listen at a wedding? Right? An and Sadi. Ech de, right? An American wedding, right? But they signed it at the Chazan Tish. Right? De Ploni ben Ploni Chasan denan Amrla Lahada Psulta Lahada Psulta Plonis Bas Ploni Havila the Intu Kadas Moshe Yisrael, etc. etc. Utzvias Moras Plonis Ve Havila the Intu. The Dang the Dunyan Hol, etc. They all testify. We saw how the guy said, "Will you marry me?" And the woman says, "Yes, I will marry you," and etc. etc. They didn't see anything. Maybe they signed the Chasan Tish and got sick and went home. Maybe they signed the Chasan Tish and had to catch a plane. How do they see anything? So this is the most interesting aspect of Sharos. They even don't actually know anything.
Wouldn't we be better off with Starry Kenyan?
Yeah, the Nisim is only about Starry Kenyan. Correct. Okay, fine. So, fine. Okay, fair enough. You're right. Let me, that's a good point. Okay, but... that isn't a serious. Okay, let's take classic Shtar Kenyan, right? Two Adam signed a piece of paper that, because this is clear, a Shtar Ksuba, they could have signed after they saw it and seen it at least, right? An IOU, they could have signed after they saw Yehuda give me the 100,000 shekel. How about a Shtar Kenyan, right? A Shtar Kenyan, I have a piece of paper signed by two Adam that says, I sold my house to Aaron. How do I sell my house to Aaron? By Kenyan Shtar, by giving him the Shtar. By definition, they have to sign it before I gave him the shtar. That's how I do the kinyan shtar. By definition, they have to sign it when it didn't happen. They have to sign Eder Sheker, as it were. So how does all this work? So, says the Nesivos. The Nesivos says that the real proof of a shtar, what's the real engine driving the shtar here? Says the Nesivos, the real proof of the shtar is not that the Edom are made what happened. The Edom don't know what happened. Take a get. The Edom, by definition, signed the get before the husband gives it to the wife. Meaning, they sign a get when there is no divorce. They could then go away, right? And never see whether or not there was a divorce. So how do we know there was a divorce? We can't say the Edom testified there was a divorce because they didn't see anything. Because she's holding it. And what does that mean? So, says the Nesivos, what that means is an anan sadi. Don't tell me this is against Reb Chaim. I know. It's an anan sadi that she was divorced. Says the Nesivos, what is the real proof of a shtar? The real proof of a shtar is not Eidos that she's divorced. It's an anan sadi that she's divorced. Because if she's holding the get, she must have been divorced, because how else did she get the get? Don't tell me the husband wrote a get and then like left it lying around where she could pick it up on her own. No one would ever do that. Don't tell me the husband happened to be walking down the street, it fell out of his pocket and she found it. That's too highly unlikely. Obviously, if he gave her the get, if she's holding the get, she received the get. And therefore, it's anan sadi. So says the Nesivos, you know why you don't need Drisha Chakira by Shtaros? You know why you don't need Drisha Chakira by Shtaros? Because it's not Eidos that the Kenyan happened. It's an anan sadi that the Kenyan happened. And an anan sadi doesn't need Drisha Chakira. It bears then allowed to conclude something by the principle of anan sadi, right? Let's say it's just obvious that something's true. Bezdin and Paskin, based on the fact that obviously that's true. That's what anan sadi means, right? If it's obvious something is true, do they have to know when it happened? No, that's only for Eidos. For an anan sadi, there's no requirement of... For an anan sadi, there's no requirement of Drusha Chakira, and the real raya, power of a shtar, is through the anan sadi. So says the Nesivos... Says the Nesivos, because the proof of a shtar is not midin eidos, but misham anan sadi. Oh, so why do you need eidim signed in the shtar? No, you need Edom signed on a star to provide a background to the Anansadi, because after all, let's say there are no Edom. A woman just has a piece of paper where someone typed, the husband divorced the wife. Then there's no Anansadi. Maybe she typed it herself, right? There's only an Anansadi because the Edom would only sign it if the husband told him to. So the Edom prove that the husband wrote this get and had... And held on to this get, right? The husband had control over this get at some point. Then it's an Anansadi that he divorced her, since the Iker Edus of the Anansadi and the... Now he has to make one assumption. And what the two Edom actually say is just a side background detail, is not the real Edus. A side background detail that comes from two Edom signing is not considered, doesn't need Drisha v'Chakira. Drisha v'Chakira is only the real fact that we're trying to prove. Okay, and that is not but Mishum Anansadi. The Pnei Yoshua says something very similar here. Says the Pnei Yoshua, he says, no, the proof of a shtar is not Midin Eidos. No, the Eidos aren't there to prove that what it says in the shtar is true. The Eidos do not testify. As the Edus does not testify that what it says in the shtar is true, the Edus are just the Edom are just there to prove that the husband or whoever it is wrote the shtar, but midin hodas baldin. It's midin hodas baldin, meaning how do I know this woman is divorced? Because her husband admits she's divorced. How do I know her husband admits she's divorced? Because she's holding a piece of paper she got from him that says she's divorced. How do I know she got it from him and she didn't type it herself? Oh, the Edom are the proof that she got it from him, because the Edom are the proof that he's the one talking and not someone else. Meaning it's Hodas Baldin. He says you're divorced. Or if I sell Aaron my fee on my house, because I admit that I sold her my house. How do you know it's me talking and not someone else talking? The Edom are there to show that it's me talking and not someone else talking. What both of these have in common is that Anansadi doesn't require Drisha v'Chakira, and Hodas Baldin does. If I go into court and say, think about it, I go into court and I say, I owe Aaron $1 million. You don't need Drisha v'Chakira for that. That's for Edos, not for Hodas Baldin. So that's the Anansadi. Obviously doesn't need Drisha v'Chakira. Hodas Baldin obviously needs Drisha v'Chakira. What?
Maybe Gittin does need Hodas Baldin, doesn't help, even if the Baal said I divorced them.
Aha, uh-huh. So just to be fair, the if you look at the Pnei Yoshua here, his Lashon is, he tries to hedge his bets a little. He says, Midin k'sav yodo v'hodas Baldin. You know, because in get, k'sav yodo works, right? That's the Mishnah for you. Kosev k'sav yodo v'enal of Edim. Works. And again, that's all without Edim Masira, that Mishnah. It's not. Ksav Yodo. So we know that Ksav Yodo works for get. Now, it's a very important question. Does Ksav Yodo work for get Midin Hodas Baldin, or Midin something else which is similar and parallel to Hodas Baldin? But that doesn't matter right now. Something that's either Hodas Baldin or something parallel to Hodas Baldin works by Gittin.
What if Baal, not Tainan Mizuya, Tainan is that I wanted to give her, everything's fine, but I decided at the last minute and I took the shtar and I threw it in the garbage and she must have found it.
Okay, good question. Then he's not Naaman to say that. There's an Anansadi that's not true. Why is there an Anansadi that's not true? So the Sivas will have to say, because that's so against the rules of psychology. The Sivas will say, Chazal hired an industrial psychologist and he did a whole mechkar. Either that, or they use their common sense, which is often a valid substitute. He did a whole mechkar, and he determined that a husband who changed his mind about divorcing his wife, the odds that he would put the shtar in the garbage instead of ripping it up are 0.0001%, and that's so small that it's still an Anansadi. Okay. That truth is not so crazy. Meaning, what is he, stupid? He knows this is a very valuable, important document. Like, if he doesn't want it, he should rip it up. That's not so crazy. Okay, the assumption they're making, of course, is that even though the Edom plays some ancillary behind-the-scenes role, that ancillary behind-the-scenes role, since it's not Edos Mamish, it's just a behind-the-scenes role, doesn't require Drisha v'Chakira.
Edos Hasim Akarsi is not behind the scenes. That is the Geirushin.
Not according to the not according to the Nesivas and the Pnei Yeshua. The Nesivas and the Pnei Yeshua would say, what do we mean by Edom Asir Karsi? Let's go back to what we said. I know there's a different twist on what we said earlier, and I did not emphasize this enough, which is why I've been looking for an opportunity to broaden our horizons. But the they would say, no, what Edom Hasima Karsi means is not that you mamish have Edus on the Gerushin, but rather that she is holding a proof. Why is it a proof? It's a proof of Dinan and Sadi, but the background tonight for that proof is Eide Chasima. It's a proof of Dinan Das Baldin. The background tonight for that proof is Eide Chasima. Okay, but it means Eide Chasima is a necessary tonight.
It takes the wind out of that.
Oh, yeah, and a Chalami. I can handle that. Okay. Again, what do they both assume? They assume that the background role of the Eidos doesn't require Drish of Achikira. Keep in mind, this has nothing with Pshatim 1 and 2. If two Eidim came into court and said we'd like the testimony as to who, testify who's divorced, we would require Drish of Achasima, even though it's Ishus. No Kulan Ishus. It's just that since it is Shtar, it's not really Eidos, it's really something else, and the Eidos is just a background detail, therefore you don't need Drish of Achikira.
According to this approach, I understand the application of needing two Eidim for the Rosh Hashanah Erva, for the Nesivas, you don't even have two Eidim here. It's just an Anansade.
No, so you need two Eidim for the background that helps create that Anansade. Since it's the Rosh Hashanah Erva, after all, it's only Anansade if we know the husband used to hold this piece of paper. How do we know the husband originally held this piece of paper? Because of the two Eidim. And that's where we plugged up with our...
Now that we're using it.
Yes, correct.
But can't you say the Hashanah, going back to what I wanted to say before, Eide Chasima, Eide Kiyum, and that with Kulei Alma, even the Ramban was willing to give in to the Rambam that you don't need Eide.
No, but everyone agrees that it's a valid proof. Everyone agrees if she brings her get to court 5 years later, it's a proof.
That's a beseder, but that's something else.
No, but
the Ramban was willing to give in. Right in the beginning, the Ramban was willing to give in if you didn't need the valid proof. But for Eide Kiyum, it's a...
Yes, you're right, but that has nothing to do with what we're discussing, because we're discussing a Raya. Okay, you're saying it's not necessarily taking the winds out. Okay, fair.
I would say exactly the opposite. Eide Chasima makes the Shtar and puts Shtar Raya. Basically, that's what the Nesivas and the Pnei Yeshua said. They're not being made on the Gerushim. They're not Eide Gerushim, but they make the Shtar and puts Shtar Raya.
Okay. Okay, and I'll admit that both of those are possible. Okay, now, however, yes?
So obviously neither Anansahadi and the Das Baldin are not just Medinavis?
They are, in some sense, parallel to Edus, but they obviously are not Medinavis in terms of the formal requirements. For example, you don't need two people, you don't need Sheirin, you don't need Rechokim, you don't need Kabbalah B'fnei Gimel, etc.
It's all based on technical
Eidos. Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, you're right, Anansadi sounds like it is, right? Hodas Baldin is Kimeya Eidim Dami. But nonetheless, they're so far away that it really doesn't bother me, because I would say they're parallel, you know, they're based... Even if they're based very vaguely. I think they're based very vaguely. I think both of these are saying there's something that's actually much bigger than Eidos. Not something that's another form of Eidos, in my humble opinion. Okay, let's just briefly review. There's a great Chazara of Shtaros, right? Says the Ktsos something a little differently. Says that I think the Ktsos here and Reb Chaim are assuming no. That a Shtar, meaning, what's the main point? The Nesivos says... Let's say these two Eidim signed in the Shtar, let's call them Yankel and Beryl. Yankel and Beryl are not testifying that she's divorced, according to the Nesivos. Yankel and Beryl are helping to establish that this is a significant piece of paper, and then Anansadi says she's divorced. Says the Pnei Yeshua, Yankel and Beryl are not testifying that she's divorced, they're just establishing that the husband requested this piece of paper be written on his... that the husband is speaking. The husband's words are recorded on this piece of paper, and then the rest is Hodas Baldin. The Ktsos and Reb Chaim assume no, that the Eidim are actually testifying to something. The Eidim actually are testifying. What about the Mipi Ksav? Okay, nonetheless, even though it seems to break all the rules, The Edom are actually testifying. If the Edom are actually testifying, how about the fact that there's no Zman, there's no Drisha v'Chakira? Why is that okay? So here the Ktsos answers a little differently from Rav Chaim. Says the Ktsos and Rav Chaim say, right, I mean, what do they say? The Edom are not made on the Chalos. The Ktsos and Rav Chaim assume, no, the Edom are made on the Chalos, right? This is the way that, you know, we kept quoting from Chaim that the Rav liked to view Shtaros. Says the Ktsos, he said, the Edom are made, but there's a special Chiddush. How could the Edom be made on the Chalos? What about the fact breaks all the rules? There's a special Chiddush that Edom achsumen al ashtar, k'mi shenechra edusan be'bezdin dami. Okay, how does that Chiddush help us answer this question? After all, notice, the phrase k'mi shenechra reminds us of the phrase Drisha v'chakira, right? Meaning it's the same word, right? So they both take this just in two different directions. Says the Ktsos that the Chiddush of Kimi Shenechkara Edusan V'chuli is that literally it's as if they were Nechkar in Bezdin. It's as if they stood in front of Bezdin and said what they said on the shtar. Okay, but then it should be puzzle because they because Bezdin asked them when did it happen, and they said we're not saying. So how does that help? So here he says, what if two Edom would come to Bezdin and Bezdin would ask when did this happen? They would say today. So that's an interesting question. We paskin that would be valid. That Hayom is valid. Right, because Hayom is telling you exactly what happened. So says the Ktsos, it's as if they stood in Bezdin, but it's as if they stood in Bezdin. I know they didn't write any Zman. When they don't write any Zman, what they mean to say is now. That's what they mean to say. When they say, even if they were testifying that any Zman, they would say, you know, Plony divorced his wife, or Plony, you know, Bednar sold his house to Anstreich. What they mean to say is now. When now? At the moment that they're handing over the shtar, now is when they're doing it. Now, by 2 weeks later, we've forgotten when the now was. But at the time they were connected to Zman Dummy, they had said the Zman. They said Achshav. So the Chiddush is that it's as if they stood in front of Bezdin and testified not just Hayom but now, and testified what happened now. And therefore that equals Zman. Really, there's always a Zman. We don't know the Zman later. When we look at it later, we don't know the Zman. We're going to technically have problems of Basachoso and problems of Peros, but there really is a Zman. Because it's as if they testified now. Okay, that's not. I don't know if that's the most attractive shot, I admit. Maybe I'm not doing it justice because I'm biased. Well,
I didn't think that really mattered. I thought he meant when the star comes to Bezdin, we look at it as about their
shtar. No, I don't think it's what he meant at all, because in the continuation he says that's only true if they don't write it a long time afterwards, and if they're writing it happened at the time of Masira. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. I'll explain why in a moment.
I'm just wondering how far we take that. Like, if they said yesterday, did they also not
mean? So the Ktsos himself says at the end that if they would actually write in a shtar that it happened previously, then it would be possible, because there's no Drisha v'Chakira. It's only if they're writing in a shtar that it's happening at the moment of Masira.
Masira could be a week later.
So here maybe I have to add something to the Ktsos. I understand what you're saying. It's just Nistar from the Lashon of the Ktsos in the continuation, because the Ktsos says that if you would have a case where they wrote it after the Masira, where they wrote it after the Maisa, then it would not be as if they said Hayom. Because they wrote it after the Maisa. It's only when they write it before the Maisa. And what are we saying? We're saying they intend. Here, there was a Stipler I quoted you once who said, I'm sure I quoted this here once, that what they're really doing is they're being made that it all happened. They're being made in advance, and they intend their words to be relevant at the time that it happens. And therefore, if they write, let's say they write, you know, Reuven divorced Rachel, right? What they intend is that they want to be made as soon as he hands it to Rachel. And the time is he hands it to Rachel, they're made that right now he divorced her, so therefore they have a zman. As opposed to if they would write a shtar later, then it would not have a zman. That's the Ktosis whole chap. Okay, I'll chaz that in a moment. Let me just point out
Rechaim. The round that he's quoting, though, the round that he's quoting from the Darish, that seems to be that it's at the time of the Nesirah. I think you even mentioned that was a trick. According to the round, that's how you have a Yekiyu, that they're there.
At the time of Nesirah, I didn't say at the time when it goes into Bezdin, like you just said. You want to say the time it goes into Bezdin? No one said that. Let's just finish with the Rechaim. Oh, okay, then that's fine. Says Rechaim. Says Reb Chaim famously, right? He says, "No, it's not like the Ktsos that Kmishenech produces." And you know, I don't think the difference is mere semantics. It's not that Kmishenech produces in Bezdin on these. Like Mamish, we view it as if they were in court testifying in front of the Dayanim at that moment, etc. No, Kmishenech produces in Bezdin on these doesn't mean. Right, there's always two as if, right? What does it mean, as if? As if meaning you did some equivalent process which is just as good, or as if you're exempt from the process, so it's just as good. Right? He says, not as if, like, it's as if you did it. You need to do it as if you did it. You don't need to do it in the first place. This is a different type of Eidos. This is a chefza of Eidos shtar, not a regular telling of a story. This is an Eidos on the results, perhaps not an Eidos on the story. He says, no. The chiddush is that you don't need any process of Kabbalas Eidos. You don't need a process of Kabbalas Eidos for Eidos Shtar. Not as if you stood in front of Bezdin. No, you're exempt from the process of Kabbalas Eidos for Eidos Shtar. And then he just has to make an assumption of the Chakira Sagraf that we mentioned earlier. Here's your main set Chakira. And he assumes that, at least at first, Jewish Akira is a din in Kabbalas Eidos Bebezdin, not in the Chetzer Shel Eidos. If what we did in the Chetzer Shel Eidos, then it would be a problem. You don't have a proper Chetzer Shel Eidos. He says, no, that's not a din in the Chetzer. Chetzer Shel Eidos is just two Eidim saying something. The Jewish Akira is a din in the Kabbalas Eidos like Bebezdin. Here it's Kamishnech reduces Bezdin Dami. Not meaning as if they've gone through the process. But they don't have to go through that process. They are an alternative track that doesn't require a process of Kabbalah. That's the Chiddush of Shtar. The Chiddush of Shtar is that you have different kind of Eidos, which instead of using the process of Kabbalah and the authority of Bez Din in the judicial system, rather uses the process of Das HaMeschayev and a person's power to create their own type of Raya against them. That does not require Drisha Vahakira. Okay, so that's a Rechaim. I think Rechaim is a little more attractive to us, perhaps, than, I mean, I'm biased, perhaps, so maybe that's how I presented it. You can go back and look at your own. You have all the original Makaros there. I'm not hiding any primary sources. That's Rechaim's top. Now, just one interesting thing that comes up is, hold on a second, now, this whole second group of Achronim has a Kasha from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. What did the Gemara in Sanhedrin say? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, what about a post-dated shtar? And the Gemara says, a post-dated shtar is only kosher midrabanan because of the shilotinol delos and they love him. According to the Rishon Lakish perfect sense, a post-dated shtar mammon is only kosher midrabanan. It's mammon, you know, according to the Megillah, it makes sense. Yeah, it's only rabanan. According to these four pshatim, what do you mean? It's not about ishus, it's about shtar. So why is a post-dated shtar only kosher midrabanan in Gittin Lama, in Sanhedrin, I mean, Daf Lama Beis? So why is a shtar chov me'uchar not kosher min ha-Torah, right? In Sanhedrin, Daf Lama Beis, Amar Aleph. In that original sugya. They say it's only kosher, so Tinol Dels, they love him because of Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. Why, after all, shtaros should be exempt from the rules of Drisha Hakira. A shtar is different. And here, so everyone, meaning I'm not asking a question, everyone asks a question, that's a basic. You can't learn the sugya that asks the question yourself. Let's see, let's just chazer how everyone answers that question. Says the... quite possibly, yes. And the simple shot is that it is a... Okay, but what's the simple shot? Simple shot is that it is a... the simple shot is that it is a shtaraya. So says the Nesivos. He says no. He says there's a difference between shtar kinyan and shtaraya. Meaning shtar kinyan is handed over from one party to the other party. That's what makes it a shtar kinyan, right? The husband has to hand the get to the wife in Nasan Biyada. And it, likewise, when I've sold my house to Aaron before, I have to hand him the shtar. Shtar kinyan, the whole point of the shtar is handed over. A shtar chov, it could be handed over, right? That's a common scenario. But it doesn't have to be handed over. It could be that Yehuda lends me, right, 100,000 shekel. And then we say to these two Edom, now write up a shtar. If the two Edom now write up a shtar, then... Now, which means that anytime you have a shtar raya as opposed to shtar kinyan, meaning a shtar that's not a shtar kinyan, that's only a raya on something, that wasn't used to effect the kinyan, and here we're going to assume a shtar chov is a shtar raya, which is the simple pshat, the l'chorah pshat. There's not necessarily an anan sadi. Maybe the Edom signed the shtar chov and gave it to me and I handed it to him. Or maybe... he just had the Edom write it afterwards for himself, and I never handed it to him. There's no Anan Sadi. Then it's pure Edus. So he says, I don't know. He says, that's different. He says, this is Shtaraya, not Shtar Kinyan. A Shtaraya has no... Anan Sadi. And therefore, that's different. His chiddush only by Shtar Kinyan. It was not by Shtar Raya. The Pnei Yeshua, he could have said something similar, but he says it a little differently, says the Pnei Yeshua. He says, hold on, what's the whole point of a Shtar Chov? Anyone know what's the whole point of having a Shtar Chov as opposed to Milvah Baal Peh? What's the advantage of having a Milvah of a Shtar? Your Torah Filakuchos. Okay. What type of proof would not work to make the Lakuchos lose their money? Hodas Balden, right? Meaning, you can't have a Hodas Balden to make a third party lose money, right? I can't make a Hodas Balden that Isaac loses money. I can't make a Hodas Balden Isaac has to give you money. So he says very pasha. He says, Hodas Balden doesn't work for Shibud Nechasim, which is Chayav Lachrini. Right? The whole point of Shibud Nechasim is that a third party suffers. Isaac bought my house, and yet Yehuda can confiscate it for the shtar. Hold on. He was saying the whole way shtar works is because it's not real Eidos, it is Odas Baldin. That's only true for a shtar which is not Machayav a third party. A shtar which is Machayav a third party has to be real Eidos. And therefore would have to make more standards of relatos, and therefore would need Drisha v'chakira. Says the Ktsos, he also is bothered by this, and the Ktsos makes no kimta based on Rashi. What's no kimta based on Rashi? He's been dying for Rashi no kimta. He makes an okimta that this case is where they wrote, signed. We don't really care when they wrote, we only care when they signed. Where they signed the shtar after the transaction happened. If this is the only case they signed the shtar after the transaction happened, I don't mean after even a second after. It sounds like a few days after. And here he makes a diuk from Rashi. What's his diyuk from Rashi? That Rashi says, Halvahaya ben Nisan vein ichru l'kosvat iyar. It was a month later. If it's a month later, then you can't say they testified hayom. How could they testify Hayom? It's a month later. In advance, you could say they're putting their testimony in limbo, that they're ready to say it when it happens. But if they're writing a month later, they can't say it happened Hayom. That would be Eidus Sheker. And therefore, the so they can't say Hayom. It sounds like if it had lingered that day, maybe he would have been okay with it. But if they... Now, that's a big okimta. That's only... Meaning, it's not that they wrote it the right time and wrote a later date. Then that would be okay. Then maybe that would be okay because they really testified Hayom. You know, but that... I know you're against Akasha. Hold that in advance. But that they wrote it a month later. If they wrote it a month later, they can't testify Hayom because it's not happening Hayom. It happened a month ago. Reb Chaim now deals with this, and he gives a separate answer for the Rambam and a separate answer for the Ramban, and I'm not going to go through it all. He has two separate reasons why one answer works for the Rambam, one answer works for the Ramban, based on their Shita about a Hachasha in Drishma Hakira in Eide Mamon, and based on their Shita in Shtaros. So he gives two possibilities. And each of them gets a little more complicated, but maybe I'll just cause her at the basic level. What are his two possibilities? One is Lefi Rambam, and one is Lefi Ramban. I actually like his answer, Lefi Ramban. Lefi Ramban, he says no. Maybe there's a difference between Shtari Raya and Shtari Kenyan. That's obviously the same insight that Nesivas had, and it could be that others could have said that. He says no. What's his deal from the Rambam? The Rambam writes, this is based on his Shita, against the Ketzos that we mentioned more than once. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos asks against the Rambam. Oh, okay. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Eidos that a shtar is only kosher midrabbanan, because it's mipik savam. Eidos shtar is only drabbanan. It's a das yachid among the Rishonim, almost. Eidos shtar is only drabbanan. The Ramban asks, how can you say Eidos shtar is only drabbanan? A woman brings in a get and she remarries based on it. Isn't that the Raisa? The Ketzos answered, oh, this is based on Afkinhu. But Reb Chaim says, no. The Rambam differentiates fundamentally in Shtari Raya and Shtari Kinyan. Shtari Raya or Halo Shtar with all the lumbas of Shtar Midoraisa. Shtari Kinyan are not Doraisa. That's only a Takana Durabanan. Shtari Kinyan work with all the lumbas Midoraisa. Sorry. But Shtari Raya, that's only Takana Durabanan. So he says, no. So he says, very simple. He says, the lumbas of the Chiddush Shtar is only for a shtar kinyan, like a get, which is where we're starting from. But this case in Sanhedrin is a shtar raya that is not a shtar kinyan. Is a shtar raya, and therefore it is bound to the regular Hilchos Eidos. He says a fundamental difference. Shtar Kinyan, that's all the lundas that we said in the Chiddush Yushinach, Yudus and Bezin, etc. But a Shtar Raya Greda, like that Yehuda lent me 100,000 shekel, that's not a Kinyan. Doesn't he? What makes him me owe him that he lent me? Not the Shtar. It's only a Shtar Raya. If it's only Shtar Raya, that's regular Eidos. Then Reb Chaim makes it a little more complicated and says, well, it's somewhat like regular Eidos, but somewhat like the Chiddush of Shtar. Then he makes it more complicated. We'll leave it for now. That's what he says according to the Rambam. According to the Ramban, he says something which I happen to like the Lumbus of very much. He says something else. He says, nope, all the Achronim until now missed an important point in this Gemara. This Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Beis was not a Shtar without his man. It was a Shtar with a false man. He says, a false man is more chumer than not having a zman. And then he has to say, there are two nafkaminas of Drishma Chakira. One is that you need a zman. That doesn't apply to shtar. The other is that zman is considered part of the Eidos. You don't need a zman for shtar, but if you say the zman, it's considered part of the Eidos and not just window dressing. And therefore, once it's part of the Eidos, if it's false, Eidos Shabbat L'Mitzvah Shabbat L'Kula, and the whole Eidos is thrown out. So what does he say according to the Ramban? He says, no. He says, a false man is puzzle even in a shtar. But
a lack of Zman is no problem in Shtar. Why? Because you don't need Drish V'Chakira. That's part of the process of acceptance, which doesn't apply to a Shtar. But there's another nafkamina of Drish V'Chakira, which is that Zman is part of Eidos, if you say it. And therefore, what is he saying? He's saying the reason is because you don't need Drisha V'Chakira, but Zman is significant if you mention it. Right? And he says, we're not talking about the need for Drisha V'Chakira. That wasn't what they were discussing there. They never discussed that sugya of Shtar without Zman. Shtar without Zman is Pashut Kasher. They only had a problem with the Shtar with a false Zman, because a side effect of the din of Drisha V'Chakira is that Zman is an important element of Eidos, and Zman is an important element of say Eidos, even when you don't have to say it. If you do say it, it becomes part of your Eidos, and once part of your Eidos is false, then your whole Eidos gets thrown in, and that was their Kasha. Their Kasha wasn't, oh, you need Drisha V'Chakira. It's a very lumdish way of reading what I said in heaven. They weren't saying, oh, it's possible because you need Drisha V'Chakira. No, Shtar doesn't need Drisha V'Chakira, against all the other opinions. Shtar doesn't need Drish V'Chakira. So what were they saying in Sanhedrin? They're saying, even though Shtar doesn't need Drish V'Chakira, there's a concept of Drish V'Chakira, there's a chashivas to Zman, and if you say the Zman and it's false, then that should be absol. And that's what they have to answer. Right, it is absol, only Mishamdilas Delos is kasher. Okay, so this is the basic lay of the land before we even start our sugya, in terms of whether Ishus is special and not needing Drish V'Chakira Midoraisa, and that's why we need a takana, or Shtar is special in terms of not needing Drish V'Chakira Midoraisa, and that's why we need our whole Takana. And if Shtar is special, then how come they didn't just say in Sanhedrin Lamed Beis the post-dated Shtar is okay because Shtar is different? Either because only a Shtar Kinyan is special, not a Shtar Raya, or because only a Shtar that doesn't make other people Chayiv is special, and not a Shtar that makes other people Chayiv, or only a Shtar that is written B'Shaito is special, not a Shtar that was written later, or, and this is the same as this, or that, yeah, all Shtars are special, don't need Drish V'Chakira. The Kasha and the Gemara wasn't that you need Drish V'Chakira, but was that there's a significance to Drish V'Chakira, and therefore, if it's false, it would be a problem.
Also, the Dab Dalet claim that Gittin and Kiddushin are Chav L'Achrinin, but Dab Dalet wouldn't work.
So the Pnei Yoshua would be against that. Correct. The Pnei Yoshua would be against that Tosas. But that's okay. Meaning, I should have put on the sheet. Okay, yeah, but look, maybe he's saying it not within Tosfos necessarily. That's what you have to say, obviously. But there's a Rashi in Kiddushin that says explicitly that get is not chavlah green. So it's not a big deal. Okay.
Just real quick. This parallel to in Amidoresh when they're saying when Rabbi Lozer's Moses the get with Eidei Chasimah the Baz is kosher, and you have two kibbonim that are showing him as to whether it's Mishuman and Sahadi, or the agents itself, the special teams, the Eidim Akilu there at the time of the Nisira. Is there any parallel?
Yeah, I think we're chazering the same sugya.
That's the same?
Yes, one? Yes. Okay, now let's start our Gemara. Yeah.
Or not. Mizuya Mitoko for this man?
What?
Did you apply Mizuya Mitoko for this man? That's the wrong man. You don't need to go through Trishma Hakir, you have to do it for that.
If you had the wrong Zman, could it be a problem of Zoy Bitoko, according to Rav Chaim, let's say? Meaning, according to Rav Chaim, says a wrong Zman is worse than no Zman. So Taka and Dini Mamanus, they accept it because of Nilos Delis, but it could, that's a fascinating question. According to Rav Chaim, if the get had the wrong Zman, it should be even Pasol Mida Araisa. And, if the get that the wrong Zman, it should be Pasol Mida Araisa. If it had no Zman, that's only the Rabbanan. But and the Vlad is kosher. If it had the wrong Zman, it should be Pasol Mida Araisa. Someone paskins that if it has the wrong Zman, it's Pasol Mida Araisa. Where did I note that down? That's not what Tosas here sounds like. Tosas says if it has the wrong Zman, it's only Pasol because of Peiros or Basachoso. But according to Rav Chaim, if it has the wrong Zman, it should be Pasol Mida Araisa. The problem is that is not. It's not what the Rambam sounds like.
If you don't need the Zman and it's wrong, it's the same as Eidos come in and you're a chakr there and they say he's wearing a green jacket or a blue jacket. It's not relevant.
No, that is a problem.
It's not relevant.
That is absolutely.
Okay, well, the Rambam's Tzul is not irrelevant. It's not irrelevant Tzul.
No, but that's against Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim is saying that the part of the concentration of Chakir is that if you say it, it's significant. Anyway, Tzvi, my answer is that it seems like, according to this Reb Chaim, Taka, a get with the wrong zman, should be possible mi daraisa, and there's no raya against that in Shas. A lot of Rishonim don't write that, but, you know, a few Rishonim don't write that, but I think it could be true. Okay. I'm not pasking. I mean, I'm saying that would be... It's not against the Gemara. It's against Tosos right here. It says the wrong spot is only problems appears in Basachoso. Tosos de Ramaskel Nechtav. Okay, you're allowed to be against Tosos. Okay, Viter. Let's just at least start the discussion of our Gemara. Tosos has a fascinating question. It is a bit of a side point, but very fascinating. What Mishum Basachoso? What is Tosos assume? But yeah, that's a good enough Gemara. Tosfos assumes, what's the case of Mishum Basachoso? What's the problem of Mishum Basachoso for Tosfos? Is that if there be a get without Zman, right, before they made this Takana, if there be a get without Zman, she would be declared innocent in Bezdin, right? She would be exonerated in the capital case of adultery, right? So what's the assumption is? The assumption of the Gemara, Hanachas HaGemara, is that if the get has no zman, she is ptura. Which, at first glance, makes sense, because it's a suffix if she was divorced before or after this act of apparent adultery, and suffix nefashos lahakel. Tosas kasha is... You know, he doesn't ask it as a kasha, but all tosas are kashas, right? V'im tomar, if we were writing tosas in the standard sense... It's not a suffix, right? She is ptura because suffix nefashos lahakel, or whatever kushyas tosfos is. Is it a suffix when she's divorced, or do we have halachic rule? What's the halachic rule? Chazaka. Chazaka de meikar, as we say. If she's married, she stays married until proven otherwise. So if we don't know if she was divorced, let's say she committed adultery last Tuesday. We don't know if she was divorced last Tuesday or not. Chazaka tells us she was still married last Tuesday, so we should kill her. We kill people because of Chazaka. So his kasha is that the chezkas, the chezkas eishes ish, chezkas eishes ish. I know this again. She was divorced at some point. We don't know when, but the chezkas eishes ish should tell us she was divorced later rather than earlier.
Any minute is something.
No, but we always say chazaka d'me'ikara. We always say chazaka d'me'ikara. If, you know, I don't know, if a guy was alive, I went into the house in the middle of the night. And then in the morning we discovered he was dead. So I don't know, when I came in, was he alive or dead? Am I tummy or not? We assume he was alive until proven otherwise. I think that's the way we work in Kultur Kulis. Give me a second. Kus chos chaz kaseishas ish. So Tosas gives an answer or two. What does Tosa say? Shelo yechapa olek she'en bo zman delor min okma cheskes eshes ish v'hashu yigarsha. Why don't we say cheskes eshes ish? Kaven she grusha lefaneinu. Because she has a get. Because now she's divorced. Meaning, we know she was married as of the wedding. We know she's divorced as of now because she has a get. And whatever was given, she's divorced now. So that's called in halachic lingo. Chazaka d'be'ikara. But there's a chazaka d'hashta. We know now she's divorced. Now Tosus continues. The ode, Adraba, open b'cheskes k'sheir shon v'al k'sheish zish. She has a cheskes kashrus, which she wouldn't commit adultery. Right, after all, she used to be a person who didn't commit adultery. She used to be a k'sheira. So let's assume she's still a kashrus and she didn't commit adultery. The big machluk sachronim is, how many answers is Tosus giving to his question? One answer of a combination of factors, or two answers. What does va'od mean? Does va'od mean va'od yishlomar inami od yishlomar, second answer, or va'od and the second point? As some of the achronim lean towards saying va'od adarabah makes it seem like this is independent, but you're not sure. So here we're not sure what Tosus meant by his answer, right? What was the teirutz of Tosus? Here we have two schools of thought in terms of the answer of Tosos. One school of thought is the maskon of the Pnei Yoshua, and this is also the opinion of the Ksos and the Nesivas, the Ksos and the Avnei Luan, Simen Kof Chav Zayin, sorry, the Ksos and the Ksos, actually, the Ksos and the Avnei Luan, Simen Kof Chav Zayin, also the Ksos and the Shev Shmaitza. So here we have the maskonas of the Pnei Yoshua and the Avnei Luan.
Where is the Agni Eluim? It is someplace. So Solzhenitsyn says in the Shmaitzeh, but same person, we don't need to put on the board. He says that it is one answer. However, the Havni of Pnei Yoshua, he really thought that the Lashon of Tosfos sounded more like it was two separate answers. But Oda Adarabba sounds like this is an independent factor, right? So, the Pashtos Lashon HaTosfos, he didn't like it Misvara. But according to the Pnei Yeshua, and I think that is more Pashtos Lashon HaTosfos, and the Shari Yosher of Rishon Shkop, which I put on the board, so it's very nice here, says, no, there are two answers. Okay, how do you understand the two answers? A is that the Chazaka Dehashta neutralizes the Chazaka Debeikara, right? The Chezgas Grusha Dehashta. After all, she's Grusha now, let's push it back. She was Ishtish earlier, let's push it forward. So they cancel each other out. It doesn't have to win, it just has to stalemate, right? Something about Shlahakil. B is that Cheskas Kashrus neutralizes Chazaka, Cheskas Eshesesh, these are both Chazaka to make Karas, right? She used to be an Eshesesh, and she used to be a Kshira. Okay, why does the Pnei Yeshua conclude that that's not true in the end? And the Agni Eluim and a bunch of other Achronim all conclude that it's not true in the end, because this doesn't seem to be the regular principles of Chazaka. The regular principles of Chazaka are that if you have a Chazaka Dmeikara versus a Chazaka Dahashta, the Chazaka Dmeikara always wins. That's the normal rules of, you look in the beginning of Chulin, the normal rules of Chazaka is that Chazaka Dmeikara beats Chazaka Dahashta. Who remembers? Who learned Hilchos Shechita and Smicha here? Not sure. We're stuck. We have the generation who learned in Smicha after they already took away the requirement of Hilchos Shechita, and perhaps some people in generation where they still required you to learn Hilchos Shechita, but it's been a while since then. I have the advantage. I still remember. Because it's only been about, 12 years since we had the Hilchos Shechita in the curriculum. So I still am old enough to remember Hilchos Shechita in the curriculum, and young enough, and also the advantages of having taught in Smicha as an adult, that it hasn't been so long since I learned Hilchos Shechita. So I have a knife, right? The knife, I check it, it is smooth. It has no pagam, no nick in it. I check an animal, and then I look at it, and it has a nick. Is the animal kosher or treif? The animal's treif. Why? The Gemara says, I have a cheskas kashrus of the knife, but I have a cheskas paslos of the knife. So how do we know which wins? So the Gemara says, because really the chazaka d'meikara should beat the chazaka d'hashta. This is a, meaning you'll have to find very obscure shitas to deny that chazaka d'meikara beats chazaka d'hashta. Right, we're not going to go into the most obscure shitas. It's mekubal, no matter how many sforim you look at. 99% of them will say Chazak Meikar beats Chazak Dahashta. What is the Gemara saying in Kulin? But if there's Tarti Lureyasa, the Chazak Meikar loses. What are Tarti Lureyasa? A, now the knife is bad. And B, the animal's Bechezkas Treif. Right? Maybe because of his Abram Menachai, maybe because one chef did. The Chezkas Isser of the animal and the Chazaka Dahashta of the knife beat the Chazaka Dmeikara of the knife. Likewise, a guy toveled in a mikveh that used to be 40 saw, used to be complete, and now we measure it a week later, it's incomplete. When he toveled, what do we say? We say he's still tummy. Why? The Gemara says, because Tarki L'Reyesa, you have a Chazaka Dmeikara, the mikveh is kosher, but against that, a Chazaka Dahashta, the mikveh is treif, and the guy was Becheskas Toma. And therefore, in the Gemara, that's the general accepted rule of the Gemara, that a Chazaka Dmeikara beats a Chazaka Dahashta, but not if there's Tarti L'Reyesa. If there's Tarti L'Reyesa, that beats the Chazaka Dmeikara. And that is how, this is a Gemara in Chulin, Tarti L'Reyesa. Okay, I see it's past 1 o'clock, so I won't read you the line of the Gemara in Chulin, but this is the principle, this is the general principle of Tarti the general principle of Tarti L'Reyasa, the general principle of Tarti L'Reyasa, that when you have a chazaka de hashta plus another external chazaka against chazaka de meikara, you don't know if something changed earlier or later. So you have a chazaka de hashta, chazaka de meikara, and then you have the chazaka of something else that's relevant, that it takes aside a chazaka de hashta, then Tarti L'Reyasa beats. Tarti L'Reyasa beats. Chazaka de meikara. Okay, we'll have to continue analyzing this a little. I don't want to. I could spend a whole month on chazaka. Honestly, maybe we'll just have like a little taste. A little taste of this. Amir Tashem next time, and then we'll continue into the nitty gritty and the lumdus of the Takan of Zman. I'm assuming for the time being. Yes, I have to start somewhere. You want to suggest it's a greater mishkal? That's what the Rishon Shkop says.